Two legends, one show.
Well, it's all a lie.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Hard to believe championship week is here. We will know Sunday where the Buckeyes will be heading and who they will be playing against. For some perspective on all of it, we go to the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Our buddy Brad Crawford of 24/7 Sports joins us. Brad, let's start with the show last night that to me did a very clear thing with the intent of this committee and what it wants. And I believe very strongly what they want is for Oklahoma to get to that four spot. And I think putting them six, more even than that, is Baylor at seven, and what they did with Oregon will allow them to justify it. And I think one of the things that wasn't talked about enough and hasn't been talked about enough on this show every week is how much brand matters. And I think it does because they're making a TV show. What did you take from last night's show?
I think you're exactly right, you know, in that assessment. You know, Oklahoma State still being ranked this week is significant because, in my opinion, it gives the committee an out to get the Sooners back in that playoff picture, because if they beat Baylor on Saturday, that's going to give Oklahoma three quality wins versus one for Utah, which would be that Friday night win over Oregon. So I just think Oklahoma three top 25 wins and Utah with one, when it's all said and done Sunday, that gets Oklahoma the fourth spot.
So I'm wondering here, is this going to be a situation with what does Utah have to do, Brad, to be able to ensure that Oklahoma doesn't jump them? Is it like a 21-point beatdown of Oregon, or is this – because I feel like the games are going to be compared, and if they're anything similar, like we've talked about it, it's brand. I mean, the ratings for Ohio State, Oklahoma, 1-4 would be through the roof. Obviously, the story of Jalen Hurts and Justin Fields, two guys that have transferred and found success. But what is Utah's plan? Like, what do they have to do to ensure that they don't get jumped?
Yeah, you know, and playoff chair Rob Mullins, he would never publicly say this during all these ESPN appearances, but I think the best Final Four in terms of matchups would have to be Ohio State versus Oklahoma in Atlanta and then Clemson versus LSU out west. That's what we're going to get to Sunday. And getting back to your question about Utah, I mean, it's going to take a 31-7, 38-7 type win to kind of just put a stamp on this season for the Utes. You know, that one loss still for Utah does look pretty good, however. USC was 8-4.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty good road loss. But I just think Oklahoma is going to have more quality wins. However, if Utah wins Friday night and Baylor wins Saturday, I think we know who the fourth team is going to be.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I think from the committee's standpoint, you get in their head, Brad, and you say, boy, if they can't get Oklahoma, then they're the biggest. They're rooting as big as they can for Georgia to beat LSU, because then you get an Ohio State, Georgia, LSU, Clemson, however that shakes out, you get those four teams. And that's what this thing's about more than anything else. They want compelling matchups. They want big TV ratings. They want big brands and big stories that they can tell for a month. And those are their first two scenarios. And then once you get to Utah, Baylor, I'm with you. I think it would clearly be Utah at that point. But it would be – both of those are a tougher sell as that four versus Ohio State down in the South. Do you think there is anything that would allow for LSU – I don't think Clemson, but anything of LSU to pass Ohio State into that one spot? Because, Brad, we think it's critical. Not that Ohio – we think Ohio State can play with anybody and beat anybody. And I think LSU and Clemson probably feel the same way. They would just like to avoid it a week. Is there anything LSU can do – save for Ohio State losing, to where LSU could get to that one slot and be able to play the lesser opponent in the semifinal?
Yeah, you know, Rob Mullins has said throughout that his committee believes Ohio State is the most complete team in the nation, yet LSU has the best resume. That's what he has kind of pounded these last couple of weeks. If that's the case, I think it would kind of have to be a concoction of Ohio State winning close Saturday night over Wisconsin, and then LSU just, you know, beating the brakes off of Georgia, which I don't think will happen. But I will say this: I don't want to call Georgia a fraud, because, you know, they do have the wins over Auburn, Florida, Notre Dame, but that loss to South Carolina, man, is just inexcusable.
Yeah.
It's not been talked about as much this season. And if you recall, I mean, the Big Ten has been left out of the playoff in recent years because of bad losses, which for whatever reason has not been mentioned much this season.
That's a great point.
We do recall.
Yeah.
We remember.
We remember. I'm not sure that people, you know, in other shows remember, but you're absolutely right. That loss, especially
the
with the way
has selective bias.
Yes. That's a good way of putting it. Brad, do you think that Ohio State's in no matter what?
I think they are. I think Ohio State could at worst drop to the number two seed. They're going to be the one or two seed regardless what happens Saturday night.
Do you think the same is true of LSU and Clemson?
I think if Clemson loses to Virginia, best case scenario would be four seed for Clemson. But I don't know, man, with zero top 25 wins right now, we're talking about Clemson and Utah, by the way, both those teams have zero top 25 wins. If Clemson goes to Charlotte and loses as a 28-point favorite to Virginia,
right?
You're gonna have some people vouching the Tigers not make the playoff.
Yeah, neither one is going to happen in terms of that. Let's do a little on the Heisman. It appears that it is Joe Burrow's to win and run away with, and I think he'll win by a rather large margin and deserve. I know he's been remarkable. Ohio State put three kids out on their social, all three of their guys, Dobbins, Fields, and Young. I think Jalen Hurts is still out there. If you were a betting man, and I don't know if you are or not, Brad, but if you are, who do you think will be sitting there in New York in a couple of weeks as finalists?
Yeah, I think Joe Burrow is going to be a finalist. He's going to win the award, and I'd probably go Justin Fields, Chase Young, and then Tua Tagovailoa, actually. Despite the injury, he had one of the more efficient years that college football has ever seen for a quarterback. And I think, Ohio State branding this kind of triple-headed monster as a Heisman, they're not going to get all three in New York, but I do think quarterback and pass rusher have to be there considering those two seasons.
Brad, back in the 70s, it was 70s, Bo, wasn't it? I think Ohio State had three finish.
Had three finish in the top six. Yeah.
Do you think that could happen again to where, the three Buckeyes are in the top six? Obviously, Joe will win it, Burrow, but do you think that you could get Dobbins, Fields, and Chase Young each getting votes to where three in the top six?
Man, it's hard to argue with Dobbins' 1,600-yard year. I mean, we're talking about a guy who pretty much split carries last season with Weber and now 1,600 yards when Ohio State really needed it from him. So I think he's certainly deserving of top six vote. He's not going to be in the top three, but I think this final vote, however, is going to come down to Burrow, Chase Young, and Justin Fields. And if I had a vote, I do vote in several awards, but not the Heisman. Honestly, I'd probably take Burrow, Young, and Fields in that order.
Let me ask you this, Brad. Let's go back to Burrow for a second, who obviously we know very well and have known him since he was in the eighth or ninth grade. We've known him, so we kind of knew what LSU was getting with him. How do you put into perspective? Yeah, slightly. And by the way, a confident choice to go to LSU. Because there were other places. He could have gone to Cincinnati. He would have known the coaching staff. He could have gone to Nebraska, been the guy right away, and they would have played in a system that he would have known. I mean, he went to what I think was the highest ceiling, but the tough. You have to have a lot of inner confidence. We knew he had it. I'm glad he went there. I lobbied for him to go there. Can you put into perspective what he has meant to that program? I think the video of him on senior day kind of gives you a feel for it, and we think we have an idea, but I don't know if we totally grasp what he's meant to LSU.
You know what's crazy is Joe called this back in July and at SEC Media Days. He said LSU's passing offense was going to be one of the top ones in the country, and that drew some of the ire of SEC media guys like myself who have, seen LSU the last decade has not been a passing team. But, man, from Joe Burrow's arrival to Joe Brady, the new play caller, I mean, LSU right now has a passing offense that's the best nationally. Joe Burrow's a big part of that, and he has talent around him. Had he stayed in Columbus, he'd also have four- and five-star guys around him as well. But, I mean, LSU is going to probably have the Biletnikoff Award winner in Ja'Marr Chase at wideout. So not only has Joe had a stellar year and a half or so at LSU, but, he's got talent around him that, really, really helps out a quarterback.
We really appreciate your time, Brad. We're hoping for an Ohio State LSU final. That would be the ideal way, and I think that would be a monster to see those two teams play. Great talking to you, my friend. We appreciate your time.
Thanks a bunch, guys.